chapter 22, please. The book of Joshua, chapter number 22. Joshua 22, verse number 1. Joshua 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all of his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the half tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan. Another half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, Return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver and with gold and with brass and with iron and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren." With your brethren. Now I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, leadership lessons. Leadership lessons. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight, and I pray that you help me to preach with clarity. And please forgive my sin. Help me to be a clean vessel. I pray, Lord, that you help me not to hinder you in any way. May you forgive my sins. I pray, Lord, that you'll preach this message through me. Help it to be a blessing and encouragement and a strength and a help, we pray. Defeat Satan and his evil spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. When we stop to think of some of the greatest leaders in God's holy word, you know, we can stop and think of some truly great ones. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite Bible characters, if not my favorite Bible character, is Moses. And the reason I say that is I can identify with him. He's a man of slow speech, and so am I. He was a stutterer, and so am I. We can think of the leader Abraham or the leader Samuel or the leader Paul. But however, I'm convinced as I'm studying through the book of Joshua that in my own heart, one of God's greatest leaders was Joshua. There's no doubt in my mind. What a man. What a leader. And as we come to this chapter, we see more of his leadership come shining through. Therefore, what I want to do is I want to take this God-called leader, and I want to put him on display for our benefit. Now, there's two things I want to do. Obviously, I want to talk to those who are in any kind of leadership, from this pastor all the way down to Sunday school teachers or bus captains, or in the home, a husband, a parent, whatever the case may be. There's all kinds of God-called leaders, you understand. And most of you, if not all of you, are in some form or fashion a leader from God Almighty. You're a God-called leader. But let me also say on top of this that as we listen in to this God-called man here, this leader, we can all learn from what he says. I mean, every last one of us. Now, there's three things that summarized his leadership style. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, leadership lessons. In other words, how did Joshua lead? What did he do? And the understanding here is that as we can learn from Joshua's words, if we're a leader, we get a double whammy tonight. You see that? You can learn from what he says, and on the same time, you apply it to the leadership that God has placed you in. Now, the first thing I want you to notice with me about Joshua as we consider leadership lessons is we see, number one, his commendation. We see this in verses 1 to 3. I want you to look at it. "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I have commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God." Now, in these verses, we see Joshua stepping up and commending them. We see him here just patting them on the back, if you will, for what they had done. Now notice he commended them for one major thing. And the one major thing he commended them for could be summed up in the word loyalty. Now I want you, I want to show you something. There's three separate things that I see that Joshua commended these Reubenites and Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. There's three separate things that he commended them for being loyal to. And this is where I mean that whether you're a leader or not, we all need to be loyal to these same three things. But at the same time, if we are a leader, we need to understand we as leaders a lot of times, whether it be as a husband or whether it be as a daddy, whether it be as a pastor, whether it be whatever God's called you to do, a lot of times we're good at condemning and bad at commending. What I mean by that is that we're good at pointing out the bad, but when somebody does good, we need to commend them and encourage them and say, thank you for doing that. By the way, that's what your children need. If you have children, they not only need your condemnation when they're wrong, they also need your commendation when they're right. And we learn this from Joshua. Now, he got in their face when he needed to get in their face, but right here he's commending them because they would be commended. Now, there's three things that they were loyal to that Joshua said, I commend you on these things. They were loyal, number one, to God-called leaders. We see this in verse 2. It says, and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice, Joshua speaking, and all that I commanded you. Now, keep in mind that Moses was God's called leader. He was a God-called leader. He's a picture of the pastor, or he's a picture of any kind of leadership that God has placed in this life. He is a picture of those who've had people put under his authority. And what we see here is that Joshua said, you all have followed the leadership of God-called people. And I want to say something to you, to this dear church. You have done this over the years, and I commend you for that. And I realize that we're still in transition. I've been pastor now for a little over 9 weeks, I think. I know it seems like 9 months to you, but it's only been about 9 weeks. And we're still in transition. We're still getting our feet wet. And all I'm saying to you, all I ask from you is to do what you've always done, and that is be loyal to God-called leadership. And what I'm saying to you here is that this is the will of God. In this, we can all learn that we are to be loyal to God's leaders. There's no doubt about it. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Now, obviously, we can apply this anywhere, but I want to apply it to this church. Now, I know this preacher that you're looking at. I know him too good. And what I mean by that, I'm not perfect. I'll be the first one to tell you that. My wife will probably be the second one to tell you that, but I'll be the first one. But the fact of the matter is this. God has placed me in this office. This is a high and holy office. Matter of fact, I don't believe there's any higher office than this. This doesn't mean that I'm better than somebody, but that being the pastor of a local New Testament Independent Baptist church is a high calling of God on my life. And I want you to understand I recognize that. But at the same time, I'm not perfect. But I want to help you with something. Now, you've already done this, but I want to help you see something. Now, I gave this in our deacon and staff retreat, and I want to give it tonight because I want to show you something that some people, especially my generation, I'm talking about the young preachers coming on the scene. My generation has missed this, what I'm getting ready to give you. I'm talking about a lot of them. A lot of times when you look at the office of a pastor, you have a choice to make. Will you look at the office or will you look at the man? Let me illustrate. Am I going to do some things that you don't agree with, yes or no? Probably yes, right? Don't be afraid to answer that. Probably so. Because if you were standing here, I guarantee you'd do something that I wouldn't agree with, right? But here's where the rubber meets the road. Now stay with me. I'm trying to help you with leadership as far as what's in your life. Here's the fact of the matter. I'm a human being. I make mistakes, but I've been placed into office by God Himself. Now, at that time, when I do something that rubs you wrong, are you listening? Unless it is scripturally unsound, unless it is immoral or unscriptural, you should look at the office and say, I will submit because he's my leader. You understand that?
On the flip side of it, if it is immoral or it is unscriptural, you're to look at the man at that time and say, get him out of here. Everybody understand what I just said? Let me show you what happens. A lot of times a preacher gets up and makes a decision on something. Now, by the way, this hasn't happened here. I'm commending you just like Joshua, because this church is being loyal, and I know that, and I congratulate you on that. I commend you on that, but I'm trying to show you something here that God can help you with. Every decision that I make, you're not going to be in agreement with it. But at that time, you must say, is it unscriptural? Is it immoral? If it's not, what does God want you to do? What's the will? Remember, God has a will in everything, right? Then what's the will of God in that area? Obey those that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, because they watch for your souls. Now here's where people get in trouble. When it's not scriptural or it's not immoral, they still look at the man and say, well, he's just a man. You mean I can't say anything about him? I'm sick and tired of that. I mean, hey, are you listening to me? Hey, I'm tired of thinking that my kid's arm's going to fall off if I say something about the pastor. My generation. All I'm saying to you is this. You listening? You listening to me? At that time, you have to make a decision. Will I see the office or will I see the man? Are you following what I'm trying to say to you? Listen, I know I've got your loyalty. I know that. I'm not throwing mud at you. I'm simply trying to say, but you need to understand why you are, why should you be loyal? Because it's God's will. You see that? And you have to see the man from the office. The man from the office. If it's immoral and unscriptural, see the man. Don't look at the office. He is a man. Get rid of him. But if it's not scriptural, excuse me, if it's not unscriptural or not immoral, then forget the man, look at the God called office and say, I will submit unto the Lord in this. He commended them because they were loyal to God called leaders. Now, does anybody know of a man in Scripture that was disloyal to the man of God? I give you a hint, it's in the book of Numbers. I give you another hint, it's in chapter 16. I give you another hint, his name starts with K. His next letter is O, and if you spell it out, it's Korah. In Numbers chapter 16, we're not going to take time to read it for time's sake here, but we notice that Moses is in leadership. And Korah comes to him, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and all the and these 250 men are renowned, and they tell Moses this. They say, you take too much upon you, Moses. Say, listen, we're just like you. Who do you think you are? Now, you're not going to read that in your Bible. I'm paraphrasing. But they're saying, who do you think you are? We're just as good as you are. In verse number 21, you know what God said? God said, Moses, tell everybody to get away from them because I'm going to take them down. Read it for yourself. And the earth opened up and they dropped straight down. Now, the thought there is this. If you know somebody who's bad-mouthing leadership, you better get away from them because they're going down. It's just a matter of time. Joshua was commending them on their loyalty to God-called leaders. By the way, this can apply to all God's leaders. Teenagers, are you listening? This applies to your mom and daddy. You don't know what they did to me. I don't care what they did to you. You're to submit to them as unto the Lord because they are God-called leaders in your house. It's not your house. It's their house under God. And what I'm saying to you, teenagers, you need to be obedient and submit and be loyal to your mom and daddy. Why? Because God gave them to you and gave you to them, and that's God's will for your life. Amen. That's the truth. By the way, somebody says, I'm not going to be loyal to a God-called leader. I'd like to trail you for about 15 years of your life and see where you end up. Because it's a dead-end street, I guarantee it. Hey, this applies to your boss at work. Really? Now, unless he's trying to tell you to do something that's unscriptural, unless he's trying to tell you something to do that's not godly, because at that time, you obey God rather than man. Everybody understands that, don't you? But unless it's something that's not biblical, you're to submit
You're to be loyal. That applies to teachers. That applies to coaches. That applies to husbands. Any God-called leader, were to be loyal to them. Second thing they were loyal to that Joshua commended them for. He commended them for their loyalty to God-called leaders. Secondly, he commended them for their loyalty to their own word. We see this in verse number 3. Look at the first part of it. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. Now, what's he talking about here? If you'll hold your place here and flip back to chapter 1 with me just a moment. In Joshua chapter 1, if you remember, this tribe of Reuben, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they already had their inheritance given to them on the other side of Jordan. You remember that story? Before they ever crossed Jordan, they decided they wanted that land, and God, through Moses, gave it to them. But notice what happened in verse number 12 of chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return in the land of your possession and enjoy it which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Now, here's what's going on. Joshua's saying this, I know that you've been given that land, but here's what God wants. God wants you to go across the Jordan River with us, leave your families here, go across the Jordan River with us, help us conquer the land. When we have conquered the land, then go back to your families. Everybody with me? Now notice verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. So here's what we see. Flip back to Joshua chapter 22. We see here that Joshua is saying, you have not left us all these days. He's taking us back to Joshua 1 and saying, remember when I told you, here's what God wants you to do, and you gave me your word that you'd do it. You said you will follow me, you will do this, you will, you will, you will. And then they did. And when they did, they were loyal to their word. They didn't lie. Joshua said, good job. Good job right there. He commended them. These tribes had given their word that they would go over Jordan to help conquer the land, even though they had already been given their own land, but they did exactly what they said they would do. Now, in the same way, we all should be people of our word. You should be. So should I. Let me ask you a question. Why should you be? Why should you be a person of your word? Why? It's not a trick question, folks. Why should you be a man or a lady of your word? Why should you tell the truth? Why should you do that? You represent Christ, and he's commanded you to do that. Again, it goes back to looking unto Jesus. We're going to do whatever God wants us to do. And if you say you will do something, then you ought to try your best to do it. And if you can't do it for some reason, you ought to make a phone call and say, I'm sorry, this is why. Would you forgive me? You ought to be a person of your word, so should I. Now, God knows if I haven't kept my word with anybody, I wish they'd come tell me so I can make it right. That's the truth. Because every now and then we get so busy that we forget to do something that we said we were going to do. Anybody ever done that? Sure. And you realize that there are some people who hold it against you because you did not follow through in your word, but you completely forgotten about it. Let me help you something. If somebody told you they're going to do something for you, including me, because I realize it's very possible. Now, if I get bombarded with 10 or 15, by the way, don't joke with me and come to me, 20 or 25 of you, and say, you told me this, didn't you? I realize how you church people are, sure. But if I have told you I'd do something and I haven't done it, please tell me, because God knows I want to be right with him. I don't want to have any hindrance in my heart. And if I've told you I'm going to do something and I haven't, I have forgotten. Everybody understand?
Come help me remember so I can make it right. And all I'm saying to you, everybody ought to have the attitude that if I'm going to say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep my word. And Joshua commended them for being loyal to their own word. He commended them for being loyal to God-called leaders. He commended them to being loyal to their own word. And he commended them for being loyal to the Lord's commands. We see this in the latter part of verse 3. But have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. Joshua commended them for living in obedience to the Lord's commands. You know, one of the greatest encouragements to my heart, and by the way, you shouldn't do it because it encourages me, because that's not a big enough motive. You ought to do it because it pleases the Lord. But one of the biggest encouragements to my heart is to see people, look out and see people who are trying to live right, trying to obey what God tells them to do. You know, life, and listen, you've heard me say this so many times, but life has been simplified. It really has. Just live in obedience to God. How hard is that? If he tells you to go this way, go that way. If he tells you to stop, stop. If he tells you to jump, you ought to say how high. Whatever he says, live in obedience to his will. Now Joshua here, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You've heard the song where they spell out obedience. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And you know, that's a children's song, but there's a lot of adults who need to go back to it. We need to just simply obey the Lord. Now, is that deep teaching? Oh, that's deep, isn't it? You need to obey God. But how many people fall short right there? No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what God says. I'm not going to do that. I don't care. I'll do my own thing. Do your own thing. Dead end street. Dead end street. Go God's way, it's the full blessing of life. Number one is commendation. Now in this we see how all of us are to live our lives. Being loyal to God-called leaders. Being loyal to our own word. Being loyal to the commands of God. But at the same time, all of God-called leaders. Let me ask you a question. How many of you all are a leader? Now let me help you. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a husband, you're a leader. If you are a boss, you're a leader. If God has placed you in some kind of a teacher, a coach, if God has placed you in some kind of leadership, would you raise your hand? Now I'm talking to parents, all these kind of, okay, if you have your hands raised, now listen to me just a moment. If you have your hands raised, here's where we want to apply this part to you. And that is this. Compliment and commend those who are doing right. That goes from pastor to people. That's why I want to be a pastor that's constantly telling you, I'm proud of you. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. That's a wonderful job. All of you people stand up. Not really. I'm just saying, you know, every now and then I'll say bus captains or Sunday school teachers or deacons or somebody, stand up. And I'll say, I want you to know you all are doing a great job. It's because I'm trying to be a God-called leader. I'm proud of what you're doing. It's the right thing. And instead of constantly pointing out, that needs to be done, that needs to be done, that needs to be done, that sometimes I need to stop and say, thank you for doing that. And thank you for taking care of that. And thank you for this. You know where I get in trouble in my own household? Is I'm very good at condemning. And I'm not very good at commending. Because I want everything done. I'm talking to my children now. I'm not talking about I'm beating my wife after death or anything like that. I'm talking about my children. It's so easy as a parent to pick on the things that are wrong. So easy to do that. But every now and then those children come up to you and they say, Daddy, thank you for this. Daddy, thank you for that. Daddy, can I please have? And at that time's when I need to be a bigger man and I need to say, hey, son, hey, little girl, thank you. That's a good thing. That's great. You know what they need? If they're constantly being put down, put down, put down, put down, put down, they may stay down. Did you hear what I just said? They need to be uplifted some. and commended. Commended. That's point number one. Point number two, we notice not only his commendation, but number two, his credit. We see this in verse 4. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Boy, I tell you, these leaders in Scripture put us to shame. I mean, I don't even feel worthy to preach on Joshua. I mean, here he is now. And keep in mind, Joshua and these people had been through many battles. Many battles. And in these battles, they saw some great victories. They really did. But at this time, when the land had been subdued before them, Joshua did not tell them that it was their military know-how that gave them the rest. He didn't tell them it was their great courage or strength that got them this rest. No, rather he gave all the credit to the Lord. He wanted them to know that without the favor of the Lord, they wouldn't be standing there with the land conquered. Here's what he did. Now keep in mind, here's Joshua, mighty man of God. And keep in mind that these people looked at Joshua, who knows how they looked at him? I mean, this is God's man. God's speaking through this man. God's winning great battles through this man. And it's interesting, the one thing I notice about these God-called leaders, I'm talking about these godly leaders in the Word of God, like Joshua and Moses, Caleb, and all these different kinds of people, is anytime there was a victory, they never took credit. It was like a ricochet. Pew, pew. Boom, boom. And they were constantly pointing people to the Lord. This is not me. This is not my doing. This is not your know-how. This is not your courage. This is not your strength. This is not your fortitude. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 107, 8, 15, 21, and 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. John 15, 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches, Jesus said. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know, we need to be a person, whether we're a leader or not. Doesn't matter if you're a leader or not. This applies to everybody. We need to be a person who gives all the credit to our Lord and not walk around proud as a peacock. Now, every one of us deal with pride. Every last one of us. Every one of us. And I'm going to tell you what our homes need, what our church needs, what our schools need, what our ball teams need. I mean, you name it, I'll tell you what they need. They need a good dose of godly humility. That's what they need. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. By the way, what is humility? Some people think that humility is just walking around, just hunched over and taking dust and ashes and throwing them on your head. Woe is me, for I'm undone. That's not humility. A lot of times that's pride. You know what true humility is? You know what biblical humility is? You ready for this? It is confidence in God. Let me say that again. True biblical humility is confidence, not in self, but in the Lord. Let me explain. David and Goliath. You have it in 1 Samuel 17. David walks out there, Goliath looks at him, and the Bible says he disdained him. That means he laughed at him, he mocked at him. He said, am I a dog? I mean, look at me, mighty Goliath, and you're sending me out here against a flea? Then he looks at David and says, come to me, and I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to feed your body to the birds and to the beast. What'd David do? David looked at him. Read it for yourself. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, oh, no, you're not. What you said you're going to do to me, I'm going to do that to you. Read it for yourself. That's what he said, the paraphrasing. He's pretty confident, wouldn't you think? He's confident. Matter of fact, when you read it, you think he's cocky. But you read on and you see where his confidence is. In 1 Samuel 17, 47, he said, the battle is the Lord's. That's what he said. So he was confident, but he was confident in God. He was weak in flesh, strong in the Spirit. And that's what we need. We need some leaders like Joshua who step up and say, I'll tell you one thing, when things are going great in my home, that's not my doing, that's God's doing. I'll tell you one thing, when things are the way they ought to be, that's not because of me and my know-how. I'm just a rotten sinner. That's all because of God. Give God glory to God. Praise God. Are you listening to me? Things are going great here at the church. Would you agree with that? They're going great. Honestly, I don't want the devil to get in this thing. And he's not, I hope. And all I'm saying to you, things are going great here. People are even saying things are going great, transition going smooth. Preacher Lashley, so encouraged, he really is. And all I'm saying to you through all of this is this. As we think about what God's doing here, it's not because I'm the pastor. Who cares about that? It's because God is stepping on the scene and he's helping us to do what we need to do. And we need to give him all the praise for what he's doing. Give him all the praise. This is not me. This is not you. This is not your bus routes, your Sunday school class. This is not your marriage. It's God's. And I'll tell you something. I have the greatest, honestly, listen, if you have a better marriage than I do, I think you're lying. I've got a great marriage. I have a great wife. She loves God. She loves me. We're having a wonderful time together. Absolutely marvelous. I wouldn't trade it for anything in this life. What a marriage God has given us. But sometimes people say, well, it's because she's doing this and he's doing that. Yes, I know it's part of that because she's walking with God and I'm walking with God. But listen to me, it's not me, it's not her. It's because the Lord's in the center and the Lord is drawing us close together and we just can't feel like we can get any closer. It's all God's doing, every bit of it. And whether you realize it or not, it's all God's doing in your life too. It really is. It's not me. What's Joshua teaching us here? He's come down. He's nearing the end of his life. He's had great victories. He's had wonderful victories in his life. But there's not one word of himself. Not one word. He gives all the glory to God. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. What a lesson for us to learn. What a lesson. Then there's a third thing he does. We've noticed his commendation. We've noticed his credit. Thirdly, let's notice his counsel. We see this in verses 5 and 8. As a matter of fact, in these two verses, we see Joshua, as he dismisses these tribes. These tribes have kept their word. They've been loyal to the leadership. They've followed the commandments of God. Joshua calls them to himself, and he's getting ready to dismiss them. And he says, I want you to remember something. This is the Lord's doing. And then he begins to counsel them. I'm telling you, God lets us listen in on Joshua giving counsel. Now listen to this. What counsel this is. There's two major things he counseled them for. One of them's found in verse 5. One of them's found in verse 8. Verse 5 is first. He said this. Keep in mind, they're getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to dismiss them. They're getting ready to go back across the Jordan River and be reunited with their family. He's getting ready to say, we'll see you. What's the last things he's going to say to him? So he thinks, or whatever. Interesting. Number one, before you go, let me give you this word of counsel. Number one, be mindful of the Lord. We see this in verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Here it is, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave unto him, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. He tells them here, he counseled them concerning the Lord. Not a word about their fellow man until he first dealt with them with their Lord. He gives them some things to do with the Lord. Number one, love the Lord. Psalm 31:23, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. My God, I love thee, not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet because who love thee not are lost eternally. Thou, O my Jesus, thou didst me upon the cross embrace, for me didst bear the nails and spear in manifold disgrace, and griefs and torments numberless and sweat of agony, yea, death itself and all for me who was thine enemy. Then why, O blessed Jesus Christ, should I not love thee well? Not for the sake of winning heaven, nor of escaping hell. Not for the hope of gaining odd, nor not seeking a reward.
But as thyself hast loved me, O ever-loving Lord, so would I love thee, dearest Lord, and in thy praise will sing, solely because thou art my God and my most loving King. There was a preacher one time that came into a dark auditorium. The lights were off, whatever the case may be, and he got up on the platform and he had a picture of the crucifixion, the Lord hanging on the cross. And he said, I'm going to preach to you today on the love of God. They couldn't see well in there, so he took a candle out and he lit it. Without saying a word, he put the candle to the picture where the crown of thorns was on his head. He moved it down to his side where the spear's mark had pierced his side. Moved it down a little bit further and they saw the nail piercings in his hands. And with those three things, without saying a word, he put the candle out, closed the service. Why do I love him? Because he first loved me. And when you struggle with doing what God wants you to do, and you say, no, I'm going to go this way, that way, that way, that way. No, I'm not going this way. I know God wants me. I'm going to do this. May I remind you that he could have said the same thing and sent you to hell? But instead of saying no to you, he said yes. And he loved you to death. That's a good sermon title. You've been loved to death. And we ought to love him back. Amen. Second thing, he said, walk in all of his ways and keep his commandments. Joshua told them not only to love the Lord, but also obey him. Now, he'd already commended them for obeying him. But he said, don't forget what you've been doing. Keep doing it. Just keep obeying. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The way to live life is to be obedient to his commands. Third thing he said, cleave unto the Lord. You know what that word cleave means? It means to stick like glue. And I brought something with me here tonight. And this bigger plate is a picture of the Lord. And I want this smaller plate to be a picture of us here, you and I. Here's what that means, that word cleave. Here's what it means. It means stick to him. Get as close as you can. Wherever he goes, you go. If he moves that way, you're going that way. He moves this way, you're going that way. All you want is to be close to him. Let me ask you a question. Is that what you want in your life? He said, cleave unto the Lord. Stick to him like glue. Stick to him like cement. He's telling him, be cemented to the Lord. Be stuck like glue to him. Everywhere he goes, we ought to want to be right there with him. We should desire to be with the Lord. Desire to be with him. Mark 5:18, that he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Just be with him. Then number four, we're just about through here now, folks. Number four, he said, serve the Lord with all your heart and soul. Now keep in mind, this is Joshua's closing counsel to these tribes. Love the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, cleave unto him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. They must consider him their master, having every right to tell them what to do. They were to serve him with all their passion, giving up their whole life to do his will. 1 Samuel 12:20, serve the Lord with all your heart. Psalm 100:2, serve the Lord with gladness. Let me ask you a question. Are you serving the Lord? Are you serving him? That's the first major counsel he gave them. Be mindful of the Lord. And then number two, in verse 8, he gave them counsel to be mindful of their brethren. We see this in verse 8. I want you to look at the latter part of it. It says in verse 8, divide, the latter part now, divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. He's talking about the brethren that are back on the other side of the Jordan River. See, Joshua counseled these tribes to share their spoils of victory with the others in their family. In other words, even though they were not there with them, they were doing their part back home and was not to be left out of the spoils. They were not to forget the ones on the other side. They were to share God's goodness with them. You know, in the same way, we should not be selfish, but rather be generous with what the Lord gives us with those around us. You really should be. especially those in our own families. I mean, they were to take what God had given them and instead of hoarding it for themselves and say, this is mine. I mean, after all, I fought for it. He's saying, don't do that. Recognize that this is God's gift, not only to you, but to those who are back home. And it's God's will for us to share what he gives to us with those who are in our families and those who are closest to us. 1 Samuel 30, verse 24 says, as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. Alike. And I trust through this, as we think about leadership lessons, this leader, this mighty leader by the name of Joshua, we can all learn from him, and then at the same time, if we're leaders, we ought to mimic him in his commendation for being loyal to God, called leaders, loyal to their own word, loyal to the Lord's commands. His credit, never taking credit for himself, but constantly giving it to the Lord. And his counsel in challenging other people. Keep the Lord first place in your life. Love the Lord. Keep his commandments. Cleave to him. Serve him with all your heart. And be mindful of other people. Don't be selfish, but giving. Giving what God has given you to them. Now in this text we can all learn some great leadership lessons, no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. And I ask you a question tonight, if you're a leader, are you like Joshua? Does that summarize you? Are you commending where people need to be commended? Are you giving all the credit to God, or are you trying to take some of it for yourself? And are you giving the counsel, keep God first and others second and you last? What a leader. What a leader. I wonder tonight, are you in the family of God? Do you know the Lord? Are you mindful of the Lord tonight? And are you mindful of others? Are you giving what God has given you to other people? May the Lord drive us on our heart. Amen. No doubt about it. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you. I pray that you'll help us tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the leadership lessons that we learned from Joshua. To commend those that need to be commended. To give credit to you. And to give the right counsel. Pointing people to Jesus. And also being mindful of others. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to call the church into business just for a moment. Ask Brother Mark.